Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you don't like to type, here's a short one, jbsba.com. Please subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. One reason is because it includes at least two, count them, two articles that I've written, one longer one and one shorter one. Typically, the shorter one's a little bit more motivational. And then there's also the schedule, the week's schedule for or the guests who are going to be on the show in the week ahead. The newsletter comes out every Sunday in the afternoon by email. And so it'll get you ready for the week ahead, and you'll know who's going to be on the show, and you can decide, you know, when you want to listen in. I mean, of course, that's presuming that you don't listen all the time. Andrew Sherman is our guest and a good friend. He listens all the time. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a partner at Dickstein, Shapiro, Morin, and Oshinsky. That's a mouthful, isn't it? He's the author of so many books. I had to use a wheelbarrow to bring them all in here. And we're going to talk about how to grow your business. Andrew Sherman, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim. Fantastic. It's a beautiful morning here in D.C., and I couldn't think of anybody else I'd rather spend it with.
It's like a dream come true for you, right, Andrew?
In a lot of ways. A lot of ways.
Folks, Andrew, many of you know, Andrew literally wrote the book on franchising and licensing. That's the title of the book. And he also has written many other books, 8 or 10 books, sold something under a billion copies worldwide. And that's what we want to talk about, is how to grow your business. One of the last ones, I think, is running and growing your business. And Andrew, you've been working on something recently that you call GFGR, Grow Fast, Grow Right. Now, tell us what that means.
Well, Jim, I've spent a lot of time advising companies over the last 20 years how to take their intellectual property, harvest it, package it, and earn a revenue stream and new market opportunity from it, whether it's through franchising, licensing, joint ventures, acquisitions. And somebody finally came along about a year ago and said, now, when are you going to do that for yourself? I hadn't really thought about that, and I really got focused in the last year, started building the framework for an educational company that we call Grow Fast, Grow Right. And that company is an aggregate of all of the content that I've been working on over time, all of the war stories, the lessons for executives of emerging growth and middle market companies. I've always perceived that there's a gap in the marketplace. You know, if you're a small business, a genuine small kind of corner store, there are such wonderful resources available to you through your efforts, through the SBA, through many, many other state and local government efforts. If you're a Fortune 1000 company, then you can go out and hire the biggest and most prestigious of consulting firms. But for the middle market, they're largely ignored when it comes to educational resources, in my view.
My friend Doug Tatum calls it no man's land.
It is a no man's land, and it's unfortunate because these are some of the companies that are in rapid growth mode that are going to make the most significant contributions to our economy, create the most jobs, tax revenues, et cetera. You know, you and I have always talked about, you have two listeners to your show, two followers of your content. You know, one is the backbone of our economy, America's small business, but there's a second segment of your listenership and your following that are really in rapid growth mode, and they're listening into your show and reading your newsletters because they're looking for that one tip that might help them grow their business. And we feel like it's time to fill that gap, to fill that no man's land with a company that's devoted to those executives' needs, and we're real excited about it. It launches this Thursday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a lot of work. I certainly feel the pain of any entrepreneur trying to get a new company up and running. I've been doing a lot more check writing than I've done check receiving. I've put in a lot of very, very late nights.
Now, you have a little bit more empathy for your clients now than you used to, don't
you? Oh, I sure do. I am outpouring.
You're not nearly as cavalier about, well, we just need to pay for this.
That's right.
Those words don't roll off your tongue like they used to, do they?
It's amazing how the tables turn when you're on the other side of the table. So it's been a fantastic.
What's that website going to be?
It's going to be www.growfastgrowright.com. All one word. Growfastgrowright. You mentioned if somebody doesn't like typing, well, we haven't gotten to the shortened website yet. We'll work on that. But
all right, I'll help you with that. Well, you know, one of the things that I want to do when we come back, Andrew, is talk about for a few minutes. Talk about what it actually looks like. This middle market enterprise level, perhaps, is there are a lot of different terms that are used for folks who are in this fast growth mode who are taking off. I want to talk about what it actually looks like. There are some markers of those companies that we want to talk about, and then we want to talk about, I think, where are those companies going to go? What are they going to look like in 5 years? And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Get 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Andrew Sherman is our guest. He's an attorney. We love him anyway. He's the author of many books, including Raising Capital, which is now, and I think it's in second edition, maybe third edition. Which one, Andrew?
Second edition.
Still second
just came
edition.
Out. Franchising and Licensing, the book that you mentioned, is in third edition. Best-selling book on how to build your business through franchising.
Right.
And one thing that I have not announced publicly to anybody, so of course want to announce it here on the show, is that the merger and acquisition book, which was published back in 1997,
right,
continues to be a strong seller, is finally coming out in a second edition. Been working on it all spring long this fall, and actually partnered up with an investment banker out in Silicon Valley as a co-author, so we get a little bit of perspective beyond my own into that book.
Right. Well, congratulations, and I'm glad you're going to have a good location where folks can go and find your work, because it's very important. We were talking before we went to the break, Andrew, about what I call the markers of these middle market folks. One of them, there are a couple of three that I can think of immediately. One of them is that they need high-powered management. They need executive, vice president level folks. They need that. They need a CFO. They need a $250,000 a year CFO, but they can't quite justify those people yet. And so they've got one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat in terms of moving toward that level of management. That's one of them. The other one is they are outgrowing, if they haven't already outgrown, the banks that brought them to the level that they are, and they've got to start dealing with national and international banks. And that's a whole other league of baseball that they're not familiar with. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with both points. You know, on the human capital side, there's so many facets of the impact that business growth has on human capital. You know, one of the things that we've done in Grow Fast, Grow Right is assemble a dream team. I've tried to handpick what I think some of the best human capital thinkers in the country are in terms of the impact on business growth. If you visit the site, you'll see Bob Rosen, who's written several books, including one called Healthy Companies. The impact is significant. It's significant at both a leadership level, as you mentioned. It's also significant in terms of people becoming obsolete. You know, I hate to say that, but there are times when, you know, your office manager, who is the office manager of a company with 20 employees and $3 million in revenues, who is more than sufficient, more than adequate, and doing a nice job, and everybody loves her, but gets very frustrated and becomes almost obsolete at $30 million in sales and 400 employees, because that's just not his or her training.
Well, and what happens where the pain happens for everybody is when the management requirements are when there are other levels of managed requirements added on to the top of the organization, and those people who have been leaders, they were in the in crowd, so to speak, all those years, they're no longer, they don't have the background, they don't have the skills that's needed to accomplish those new management requirements, and they're not left behind. They're just not in this. They're not in as positions of influence like they were. And the challenge for the owner is, for the founder is, what do I do with these people? How do I make sure that we don't lose them and that they're treated properly? But how do I also make sure that these people don't hold my company back?
Right, and how do I get them into positions of respect, but where we need more skilled people brought in, but handle it in a way that still is with dignity and that they don't feel like they've been demoted or become obsolete? And, you know, in some cases, and I don't mean to sound like a jerk, you know, they do need to find a new home. I mean, business is business, and you need to be great to your people. You need to be a leader. But at the end of the day, one of the things I found is that people respect the leaders that are willing to make the hard decisions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes human capital types growth challenges require the making of very hard decisions. And
can't you, what do you think about just going to those people and sitting down and saying, look, you know where we need to go as well as I need know where we need to go. And you know that I've got to add, we've got to add some other people here who can take us to this next level. And you know, I still need you in this level. I still need you where you are. You're just as important as you ever were. I've just got to add some people on top and sort of get them to see if they can't agree with you about that.
Yeah, I think it's how you handle it. I totally agree with you on the approach. How you handle it, making them feel important, but also letting them understand that, you know, there should be no glass ceilings to your growth, and that the growth strategy that you've chosen that you need to implement, they just have limited experience in executing, and that
right.
doesn't make them a bad person. But, you know, if you're about to grow through acquisitions and your CFO has never done one, you got to wonder, unless you're going to invest heavily in training that person, whether that's the right CFO for your company with the phase that you're about to go through.
You know, another thing that sort of assuages a lot of this challenge, Andrew, is profit sharing and stock options. That smooths over a lot of rough edges, doesn't it?
Definitely. But one of the things I do want to come back to, if we have to after the break, you tell me, but that your second point, this issue of outgrowing your banking relationships,
yeah.
outgrowing your financial structure and capital structure.
That's the most difficult of the two.
That's one that's very common, mm-hmm. very, very common.
Well, because what happens is, and we are going to a break here, folks, and we'll talk about this some more on the other side, but what happens is you're dealing with a different level of scrutiny. Now your banks are going to be talking about, your new banks are going to be talking about things that maybe you haven't heard as much about, and something called covenants, those nasty little details that the devil puts in those banking agreements. Tim Till, stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame. Andrew Sherman is our guest. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're launching Andrew Sherman's brand new site, growfastgrowright.com. It's going to be available in a couple of days, Andrew.
It'll go live this Thursday morning, growfastgrowright.com, and we're excited to be talking about it with you, Jim, our good and old friend. And, you know, what better things for your brain trust to be launching and building and dedicating themselves to better educating the target community out there that we all enjoy serving. I mean, that's where my heart is.
I appreciate it very much. And folks, if you read anything that Andrew does, you know that he really does care about small businesses, small and emerging businesses. And in a couple of days, check out growfastgrowright.com, and I think you'll find some good stuff there. And it's going to be growing because I know that what you have now is just the beginning of where you're going to wind up being with that site and with the things that you're going to be offering. Andrew, let's get back into this banking situation because, you know, if you think about the evolution of a company, you start out with so many people I know start out with zero. They weren't undercapitalized. They didn't have any capital. You can't be undercapitalized if you have no capital.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they were the opposite. And so they went from nothing, from, you know, wheedling a $10,000 loan out of the local bank to finally outgrowing that bank and maybe outgrowing a small regional bank, and now they're borrowing $2 million, and before long, you know, that bank says, look, you know, you're outgrowing us, you got to go somewhere else, or they're recognizing, you're advising them that they got to do something else. And now they're going to Dallas and New York and London, and they're making some deals. They're in some up in the stratosphere, and they're not used to this level of oxygen, or I should say, lack of oxygen. And what do they do about all that, Andrew?
Well, you're bringing up some great points. There was one comment that you made before the break that I just had to get to because I thought it was great. You know, for years, lawyers, including some of my partners that represent these banks, have had to draft these evil covenants. And now I can tell them that it's not them doing it, it's the devil. And
yeah,
so
it is the devil, that's right.
We've established that now live on the air, that many of these oppressive covenants are the devil's work. So that's good. That's important.
Takes you off the hook, doesn't it, Andrew?
No, but it's true. I mean, look, you start out as a small business owner with a very basic capital structure, very basic, non-sophisticated bank loan. Many these days with home prices are doing it through a home equity loan. They don't even have a traditional commercial banking relationship.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you blink your eyes, you wake up one morning, and, you know, you're doing $7 million in sales, and with the right mix of luck and hard work, you could be at $70 million in sales. And at that point, you've got to go out and get some pretty sophisticated financial relationships in place. You may need to have a relationship with an investment bank, a commercial bank. You know, how do you go about finding these people? How do you go about finding the right ones? How do you build a relationship of trust? I mean, I've known some commercial bankers for 20-plus years, and the ones that I respect are still in that old-fashioned mindset that your commercial banker can be your greatest asset, opening up doors,
mm-hmm.
making sure you're strong.
When we interview a bank, should we find out what kind of business opportunities they can bring to the table?
Definitely, and some of them will laugh in your face because they're younger bankers and they've not been trained in the old-fashioned
business. Well, they may not know anybody.
But the better ones, the ones that have been around for a long time, they pride themselves on how much business they can bring to the table for their best borrowers and the kind of service that they'll get and the kind of financing they can line up. And, you know, if you're listening to this show this morning, or you visit Jim's website and hear it then, or you're listening to it through the link through Grow Fast, Grow Right one day, you got to understand that the relationships you have now in place as you gear up for growth in many, many ways, from banker to investment banker to lawyer to accountant, are not going to be adequate to support your growth. You're going to have to shake things up, build a team of professional advisors and professional relationships that are going to be there to really support you. And if you're not confident that your current team is going to do that, it's time to start gearing up to do otherwise, and they may not be right in your backyard.
And those are the kinds of things that Andrew and I are going to be talking about in the months ahead. Andrew, one of the things I want to do next time you come back as we wrap up this visit is I want to talk about what should the company look like, you know, in 5 years. Should we be going public? Should we avoid going public? How should we be growing our business to this enterprise level, and how do we capitalize it, and how do we make sure that we maximize the financial benefit for the owners and for the stakeholders? And we'll do that next time. Thank you, Andrew, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
Hope you'll check out his website, folks. That's growfastgrowright.com. That's coming out on Thursday. Andrew Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back real soon. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.